All honor and glory to our God. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Pastor Ben. I'm the pastor here at Morgan Park Presbyterian Church. I welcome you again to this sanctuary, to this space, this house of worship this morning. Thank you for joining us on this first Sunday of Advent. We have our tradition of lighting the candles of the Advent wreath, the four candles each of the coming weeks as we prepare for Jesus' birth, and the Christ candle in the center. And this is a tradition that is both telling the story of our ancestors in Christ who prepared for Jesus, and also a celebration of our own preparations for Jesus' coming in our time. So as we prepare for this time of meditation, will you pray with me? Holy God, may the meditations of all of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the book of Mark. It's chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. You can follow along in your pew Bible, starting with verse 24. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. This congregation is a community that finds hope in diversity. We've been beginning a period of discernment for our congregational identity, and this congregation has named diversity as one of the attributes of the kingdom of God that we are seeking with God here on earth. This congregation made a conscious choice to celebrate and nurture diversity as part of the identity of this community. And in this congregation, that diversity is most notable in the racial identities that we claim. Racial diversity in church is a rare quality, and the Presbyterian Church and in churches around this country, because our shared history of racism that cannot go unnoticed in our neighborhood where black or blue lives matter, depending on your perspective. As part of my preparation for ministry in diversity, I participated in anti-racism trainings with Chicago Regional Organizing for Anti-Racism. And in these trainings, I learned about white institutional values, as in the values of dominant culture in the United States that perpetuate white privilege and power and are woven into our institutions. Not only have we as individuals been shaped by the sin of racism, but our institutions have also been deeply impacted by our history of racism. One of these white institutional values that you can look for in your many contexts and institutions and communities that you navigate each day is either-or thinking. Either-or thinking requires that there is only one correct answer. And that one correct answer is the only opinion to be had. That the simplicity of one correct answer is more important than the complexity of including other voices in the room. Either tea or coffee. Either black or white. Either Cubs or White Sox. Either Presbyterians or Methodists. Either love or hate. In this training that I did, we learned transformational values that correspond to and seek to transform the white institutional values that we find in our communities. The transformational value that corresponds to either-or thinking is both-and thinking. Both-and thinking celebrates the complexity of our motivations, our passions, our families, and our communities. Both-and thinking transforms degrading competition into creative collaboration. Both and thinking allows room for our diverse perspectives to be a source of wisdom rather than a source of conflict. As a church, we both seek to be thrifty and generous. Our history can be both heartbreaking and life-giving. Our God is both a just judge and filled with grace. And in this moment of Advent, we both celebrate the story of Jesus' entrance into the world and wait in anticipation of Jesus' return, even these thousands of years later. In both our scripture from the prophet Isaiah and the Hebrew Bible and our text from the book of Matthew, we hear predictions and hopes for God's entrance into our earthly realm that would cause chaos and destruction for the status quo. God's presence is so desired by Isaiah and his community in exile in Babylon as they experience persecution and subjugation under empire. Jesus, too, speaks to an audience in Palestine that has been ruled by the Roman Empire for three generations at this point, leaving Jewish kings in place to collect their taxes and squash any opposition to their rule. Both Isaiah and Jesus speak of hope found in God's presence. From the perspective of participants in empire, this message of God's awesome and destructive power, God's presence, is a terrifying menace to the quiet of enforced peace. And from the perspective of a persecuted and captive people, having all-powerful God show up is a moment of triumph and liberation. We too live under empire, the U.S. American empire, and we benefit from the maintenance of this empire to differing degrees based on our identity in this diverse congregation. Each week we pray together that God's kingdom come, and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We call upon God to bring to fruition the reign of compassion, justice, and peace that has been prophesied by Jesus and the prophets. In this prayer, we call upon God to empower us to live out this reign of compassion, justice, and peace in our own lives and communities. And we often return from church expecting for things to remain the same, for our jobs to continue as we left them on Friday, for our families to continue acting in the roles that they have been assigned, for the benefits that we have accrued to continue benefiting us in the same way. We both desire God's full presence and reign of Christ, and we want to maintain the security that we have developed for ourselves in our own ways. I encounter this complicated juncture when engaging in the work of the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship that took me in as family when I was looking for a way to live out my faith more fully. When I had lost hope in the church as a place to practice Jesus' love and justice in empowering ways. With this group, I have accompanied Presbyterian churches in the South American country of Colombia. With Herman Zarate, a church leader and educator, I traveled across the western banana plantations of Colombia, visiting congregations who had come together after being displaced by armed groups in the region. People who came together after losing the benefits of the land that they had worked so hard to develop for their families. In this context, it is easy for me to see my own conflicting desires to return to my secure U.S. American life and be willing to give up everything. To follow Jesus, to be part of the empowering community that is seeking life and hope in the midst of a violent hopelessness. Straddling these two worlds, I have been given a particular lens into our context here at Morgan Park Presbyterian Church. We do not sit at the edge of a war zone filled with bananas, tanks, and military platoons. But we do sit at the edge of a war zone employed by poverty, assault rifles, and our history of racism. And we come to church for a variety of reasons, to receive hope in the midst of the chaos, to find escape in peace, to be empowered and emboldened to take action as the body of Christ alive in the world today. As we tell the story of the Jewish community and the world that waited in hope for Jesus, we also learn how to wait in hope ourselves. We are here because we find hope in diverse community. Alone, we can easily be overwhelmed by the brokenness we find in the world and in ourselves. In a time of unprecedented economic growth, we also see a growing gap between the rich and the poor. We see violence perpetrated by our military, by the police, and by our neighbors. We see signs of the end times as predicted in Scripture. And we recognize that these destructive signs in our Scripture today have been seen by our ancestors in every age. Jesus says to us, keep awake. And while we keep awake, we grow tired and lose hope when our effort to bring peace and compassion and justice fall short. As people who have been given a diversity of opportunities, we still find limitations to living out our dreams. We experience our own imperfections. We can list our sins against our neighbors, against God, and perhaps most challenging, against ourselves. Imagine what it might mean for us to come into relationship with Christ as we experience Christ in community. While we wait for the completion of Jesus' ministry in the kingdom of God on earth, we are witnesses to the current manifestation of God in the body of Christ that we are part of here in this place. The body of Christ is the community in which we can practice the ethics of God's reign, that of compassion, justice, and peace. The body of Christ is our diverse community here at Morgan Park, where none of us are responsible for enacting the kingdom of God on our own, but we are invited into a diverse community where we can share our gifts with each other in the hope of embodying that loving presence of Jesus when we are together. Archbishop Oscar Romero, who served over the Catholic Church in El Salvador in the 1980s during a period of extreme state violence against the poor, prayed this prayer at the funeral of priests who died in protest of this violence, saying that that is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. We find hope in our diverse community here. Not just diversity for diversity's sake, but diversity to live out God's reign of justice, compassion, and peace. We find hope in knowing that we cannot do everything on our own. But in our diversity, our gifts become part of something greater. Together, we are the body of Christ. Isaiah claims that God is the potter, reforming us in diversity and calling us good. Society tries to take the place of God, forming us into our socialized identities, our racialized identities, but we are God's. And God desires to reform us and heal us from our brokenness. We wait for Jesus to return to complete what he came for in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. We embody Jesus as the body of Christ while we wait. And by being open to the body of Christ that we encounter in this diverse community, we open ourselves up to be shaped and molded by each other. We experience God in Jesus, in Scripture, and in the Holy Spirit present in each other. We become the clay and God the potter. And we find hope in our diverse community because God is present in our community, bringing inspiration, love, and joy to each other through the movement of the Holy Spirit, molding us, transforming us as the clay by our interactions with each other here in this place, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to change, open to being reformed and transformed by those we encounter, allows us to be reformed and transformed by God. To be open to the Holy Spirit in this community, we must be open to listening, open to receiving from others, open to being the clay, being molded, being flexible enough to learn from our diverse community, and having hope that in that community we will encounter Jesus. Jesus is coming. So we need to be ready. We need to be practicing this work and being the body of Christ with and for each other, embodying the compassion and the justice and the peace of Christ that is present in our diverse community today. Jesus calls on us, keep awake. Amen. I invite you to respond to this message by joining in singing our hymn after the sermon, Change My Heart, O God, which is in the supplemental hymnal in your pew.